Okay, so this morning we're gonna. Did we release the children? Yeah. So everybody is an adult now here. Praise God. Anybody here for the very first time? You're here for the first time. This lady, welcome. Praise God. Welcome. Anybody else? Praise God. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. We hope you come back. Praise God. Amen. You're gonna come back. If he brings you, well, he's gonna come back. Praise God, amen. Well, we thank God for people that are coming, and people are threatening to come, and we're waiting for them. That's why we're building, and so they're coming, and so we thank God. And people that are still at home, they're not here yet, but their family is going to come home, coming back, and some of you are believing for your family to come to church with you, and we're trusting that's going to happen, amen, in this lifetime. And God's going to bring them in individually. And collectively, praise God. If not, we're going to go to their house. Praise God. Amen. Well, lift that hand one more time. Say, Jesus, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this teaching this morning that will drive the devil mad and make us all happy and answer every prayer. We give you praise for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as we are ministering, the power of God will descend. And people in this room will suddenly be healed, delivered. People have information that they never had before. Suddenly, by the power of God, the information is coming from the Spirit of God as we preach. We thank you for those that are watching online. The power of God is manifest there. As Paul prayed in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, that we're going to preach by the power of God throughout the entire region, in our province, our city, across the nation, around the world, in signs and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit in demonstration. We're trusting God for the power of God that we cannot do this on our own. We cannot pray on our own. But God, by your Holy Spirit, you can do it through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to the... I'm going to remind you of some things. I'm going to instruct you on some things. Remind you of some, and then teach you some things. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I'm reading the New Living Translation. I'm going to read the King James first and also read the New Living and go to the Amplified Classical because everybody listens, hears things differently, but it's the same thing. It's not changing the scripture. It's just saying it along a different line, and so that we're believing that you can catch it. You know, I can be preaching one message here. I've done it so many times. I preach different messages, and somebody come by and preach the same message, and people all of a sudden, they get it. So I've been teaching this for 20 years, and some guy comes here one time and you hear it, and you got it. Well, how many people know that sometimes you have to hear it over, sometimes over and over? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Listen closely to the language. We're going to talk about throwing all your cares away. And also, this is a, you can do this in your prayer time, but also you can do this by saying it. You know, in praying is saying something. So you don't have to wait to go to your prayer closet, so to speak, but you can do it anytime in Walmart. At the NW, at Tim's, you can do that anytime you want and just cast your care upon the Lord. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 7, the New Living Translation says this, give all your worries and all your cares, for he cares about you. How many people know that God not only cares for you, but he cares about you? He cares about what's going on in your life. I was reminded of Psalm 138, verse 8. It says in there, God will perfect that which concerns me. That he will complete whatever life things that happen, that need to happen in my life. He will make sure those are going to happen in my life because he has a plan for you or us. And so we have to go to the scriptures to be reminded and to be strengthened, and so we could believe on the word of God, not on some kind of a thought that we have. Our strength in prayer comes from the word of the living God. Amen? And so I thank God for that. And I'm going to read you the Amplified Classical Amplified Classical for all your classical people. We should have some strings playing while you're listening to this. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and read. Casting the whole of your care. And it begins to make emphasis about what the cares are. It brings out that word for us in the English language to tell us what those cares really are. And it defines it for us, and it says those cares are all your anxieties. You know, this world is having problems with anxieties. I taught for 18 years at the college consecutively, many years. And I taught before that, probably 20 years at college. And I noticed that most of the students that come in had problems with anxiety issues. I hear that some statistic from somebody that quoted something in the American Association of something. He said there that 90% of medical, physiological sicknesses are derived from being overburdened with care. That they're saying even some forms of cancer are causing that are in people are caused by carrying burdens and worries. Heart disease and different issues. So that's why God is telling us to cast all our anxieties. People are anxious about the world conditions and different things that are happening. And so it says, casting all your anxieties, all your worries. People worry about daily affairs, all your concerns. Well, we just read from Psalm 138 that God will perfect that all that concerns you. So not knowing that puts you into sort of a vacuum where you cannot grab a hold of your own faith and God and throw it up to God. The Word of God allows us to cast the cares on Him, and we are not to carry any load of care in our lives, not even one. And it's a sin to worry. God tells you not to worry, and if you worry, you're in sin. That's disobedience to God's Word. And most of us, maybe now or sometime or maybe in the future, will have to ask for forgiveness for worrying and not believing that God will take care of you. You know, we see Joe here in front seat with his dad. I wonder if Joe ever worries that dad's going to take care of him. Maybe. Maybe not, because he knows that his rent is going to be paid, his mortgage. He doesn't have to wait for a car to pick him up. His dad's going to drive him somewhere. And he doesn't have to worry about food. I've been with Ken. I saw his fridge. I don't know how he lives. There's nothing in it. I was just kidding. So he says, all these anxieties, these cares, anxieties, worries, or concerns, that we cast them on Him once and for all. That means when you go to God and you cast that care upon God, you leave it there. And the problem with us is that we take it back right after we come out of our prayer closet and we tell everybody how much problems we have. That's taking it back. So each time you meet somebody throughout the day and you tell about how much of a struggle you're having and how much pain you have and how much money you don't have and all the world issues are bothering you, that means you're taking it all back. We need to change our language to show people, yes, we do have these things. These things are happening right now, but God has them. Amen? And so this is what he's talking about. He cares for you affectionately. The Bible tells us that God feels for us. And the Bible says in, Acts or Hebrews 4, that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He feels what you feel. And he can relate to you because he was came as a human. He understands the frailty of man and the weakness of man, and he understands that. That's why he's a good high priest. And he cares about you watchfully. Now he's watching over you. And when you cast the care about you, take your care to him, and he's going to watch that what you took, what you prayed and released to him, he's going to make sure that what you prayed is going to take place. Hallelujah. We can say amen, go home again. Praise God. You got something already. That's reassuring, is it? Praise God. What if I go on here? Well, we don't know what God's going to do next. You know, we can't never tell. Eh? If we said that, you say, well, Roma, you better go home. Now, I'm going to read the TPT for all the TPTers. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this. This is what's this version called again? The Passion Translation. Right? Passion Translation. How many passionate people we have out there? This is for you. I can't see people out there. There's too much sunlight. Okay, glare. All right, it says, pour out your worries. Do we have it up here? Do we have the TPT? I wonder if we could buy some. So pour out. Okay, so staff, we're going to have to upload more. I want to give you that sanction. We're going to anoint you right now to get all the translations that we need, because everybody needs the Passion Translation. So it says here, pour out all, this is what it says, pour out all your worries and stress on him and leave them there. For he always tenderly cares for you. Praise God. I read you the Classical Amplified. Now this is the Amplified. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, release it, and he will sustain and uphold you and never allow the righteous to be shaken, slip, fall, or fail. You know, I was reading, I mentioned to you the Psalm 138, verse 8, you know, that God will perfect that which concerns me. And the TPT says this, the Passion Translation says, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. How many people know that God keeps his promises? It's not like, you know, we say, well, I'll see you there when, you know, and you don't show up. I'm going to give you that money. I'll get your money. I'll give you that offering. And they don't show up. But not God. He'll show up. He says something, he'll show up. He says in here, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love is for me, is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me. You know, God has begun work in us, and he will complete it if the cares don't kill you. No? Because sometimes people allow cares and they worry cares and they don't complete the race. So, we had talked about in some fashion a number of times now, we mentioned about the Lord's Prayer. How many people remember about the Lord's Prayer? And I mentioned that this, casting your care upon the Lord, is what we call the stress-relieving prayer. The stress-relieving prayer, the burden-relieving prayer, is when you pray to God and say, God, I'm going to give you this anxiety, these worries. I'm going to cast it over to you. So we're casting over to God. So this is called the stress-relieving prayer. And the disciples, you know, they asked Jesus over in the 9th chapter, the 6th verse to the 12th verse, and also Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. That's Matthew 9, 6 to 13, and Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. These disciples begin to ask Jesus, their master, Lord, he says, teach us to pray. And every one of us, you know, wants to learn how to pray even more. And so we had mentioned to you, this is not a New Testament type of prayer under the New Testament prayer. And when Jesus said, after, you know, before he left, I believe it's in the 16th chapter of John. He says, up until this time, you have not asked anything in my name. In that day, and that he's talking about the New Testament day when he rises from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, in that day, you have asked nothing in my name, but ask and you shall receive. So under the new covenant, we pray and bring our cares to God. We go to God in the name of Jesus. We go to God the Father in the name of Jesus. We don't just go to Jesus, but we go to God the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how it's done, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to know that the name of Jesus is very significant in the role of having our answered prayer. And so so in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4, let's bring that up for a second for a quick reference so that everybody knows where we're at, so we can catch up. So I'm grabbing one principle. We said the Lord's Prayer is not something that you recite over and over if you need sugar, if you got a sore leg and you want to get healed, or if you need something for your family. You don't just recite that and ask so that God will give you these things. The Lord's Prayer is actually, in the Passion Translation, he says, a role model of prayer. A model of prayer that we use. So it gives us principles in that particular verse of Scripture, or those verses of Scripture, principles that we can that can guide us in our prayer time. So that when you go to your prayer time, you know exactly what to ask God, what to pray for on a daily basis. Are you getting this? Is this too much of teaching? I don't want to bore anybody to fall asleep. I could do a dance for a couple of seconds again, get wake you up. Okay, so it says, it came to pass as he was praying. What was he doing? How many people know that you can learn prayer by watching people, listening to them, and also reading a book or reading the Bible? You need both. You need to see people who are successful in their prayer time or prayer office and watch them pray. Brother Hagin was told by Jesus to teach precept in prayer, not just prayer principles, but precept or demonstration or demonstrate prayer in front of people. And so that's what I want to do. That's what I'm aiming to do so that you know exactly what to do. So it says here, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, in that particular line, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, what he's really saying is that we need to get to a place where we understand that God Almighty, he is God, we're not God, and he's the one that's ahead of everything, and that we have a relationship with God. And when he says, hallowed be thy name, we need to know his name. His name, God has revealed himself in seven redemptive names, showing us and telling us who he is to us. So those names signify, for instance, I'm Jehovah Rapha. It signifies that God is your healer. God has already provided healing for you as a Christian. You don't never have to ask God for healing if you know your covenant. You don't have to ask God to heal you in that sense, I'm saying. Because it already belongs to you. God has already provided healing for you before you were ever sick. First Peter says that, you know, himself, or at least he took your infirmities, Matthew 8, 17. He himself took your infirmities. By his stripes, you were healed. That's talking about were when Jesus was on the cross. You were healed when Jesus was on the cross, and he took your disease and pain. He took it then. That's the covenant. And for us to go and beg God for healing would not make sense scripturally, because healing already has been provided for you in the covenant. He has a covenant that he made with us that we can ask God for these things. He's told us what to ask him for. He didn't say, try to ask me, or pray so hard that we can get this done, or pray through the devils and break through the thickness of all the devils that are blocking you. No, he just said, ask me in the name of Jesus. That relieves you from all the stress and worry, even just praying itself. I remember Brother Hagin used to say, we can pray it, And say, now, let me just say something here, because sometimes we say, so why are everyone sick? Well, I don't know that. We don't know everything. We don't know people's personal lives. We don't know their heart. We don't know what's in their heart. We don't know what may block them. But when we know the scripture, what the scripture says, it belongs to them. That's the way we pray. Everybody has their own life to deal with. And sometimes people have to work out things, resentments and things in their own lives that not allowing themselves to be, have effective faith. I don't know. Could be anything. It could be that people are in disobedience in some natural area in their lives where they're causing their own sickness and pain. You understand what I'm saying? So, and God can heal in many, many ways. So we're praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we start with praise and worship and thanking God based on those seven redemptive names and more, and thanking God that he's our healer. He's our provider. He's our protector. Amen? And he's our victory. He's our peace. Amen? Because we have peace with God and man, and we have peace even with our enemies. When we're following God, we have peace with God. And all those the names that they mentioned in there. Let's talk about seven redemptive names. He's our peace. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the next thing we do, we start praying the will of God. We pray the will of God for our nation. I prayed for our nation. I pray for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau this morning. I ask God to give him wisdom and help him through this hard time. I'm asking God for the will of God to be done in his life, no matter what it is. We pray for our premier. I lift him up this morning. I ask God that he would have wisdom today to deal with different situations and correct things that are wrong, maybe, perhaps, and give him guidance and help people that are around him to give him the right instruction and protect him from being stressed out so that he'd just make quick and easy answers. And that, that he would be prevented from doing stuff like that. He would be patient and work hard for you and me. That we'd have peace. We didn't have to have truckers if you prayed. And why is he there in the first place? We need to pray. Amen? How many of you made perfect everything you did? Amen? And you point fingers at someone? We've all made mistakes. But horrible things happen. And that's why our lives affect many, many people. Our lives alone. Think about that. And we won't be so judgmental at times. It helps us to be sensitive and righteous before God. So we pray the will of God for our nation, our leadership, in every aspect where God leads you. We pray for the will of God for the church and for different people in our city. I prayed for a mayor today. I prayed for different ones that are doing different things in our city, our police, our officials that are working in the schools. I pray for the universities, colleges. I pray for people who are doing everything in the city that's making this city run. And so I lift that up. I lift that up to the Lord and ask God to bless everyone. Give them the wisdom of God and guide them and help them not to be stressed out and help them to have correct measures of wisdom as they apply to us. So we pray. Next we pray. After that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray that. We go to the next verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. So we pray for the need of that day. What is it you need today? So we bring our needs, all of us, we do this ourselves. I can't bring your need to God. Now, I can agree with you in prayer of some things. If you're having trouble, we can do that. But there are some things that you have to do on your own. And then there are some things you can say, hey, can you join me in prayer for this? Yes, we can do that. There's scripture for that. We can do it. We can pray together. And we can pray collectively in corporate prayer for different things that the Bible shows us to pray about. We have instructions for those things. But we don't have to have a prayer meeting for you to have sugar in your house or bread. You can just claim that and pray yourself. And you have a right to believe for a job and have your needs supplied. So it says right here, give us our daily bread. So the Bible says God shall supply all of our needs. So we claim our needs for that day. And the Bible says that the Israelites, when they went out, they collected enough for that day. Not for the week or the month, for that particular day. And every time, you know, God will promise us to provide your need every single day. Lift up that hand and say, thank God he provides every need. Every day I get up, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So that's the way he is. That's God. He's our shepherd. So we pray that. And the next verse of scripture, we pray for our need. We ask God for what we need. And forgive us our sins. Sometimes you might have something going on in your life. Even, you know, we can sin in ways we don't even know. We think, well, I didn't kill anybody today. Bible says, if you hate your neighbor, you're a murderer. That means, you know, everything is sin is sin. So, resentments. Some of those scriptures say, forgive us everyone that is indebted to us, somebody who owes you something, and they owe you whatever it is, you know, just we're just going to forgive them. And so a lot of things can be solved by us not putting pressure on each other to be what we want them to be. How would you feel if somebody's always demanding from you, always demanding every day to be this way, do this, you know, on and on and on. And lead us not into temptation. Well, it said, forgive us, everyone that is indebted to us. Let's go to the Amplified Bible for a second here just to show you more, give you a little bit more understanding. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who has indebted to us, who has offended us or done us wrong. It's a good place. If you have a prayer, if you have a healthy prayer life, you will not be hindered in your prayer life, in your faith. You'll be spiritually healthy when you have a prayer life, because this is something you must continually do, because the law of the New Testament is that we walk in the law of love. Not just two times, but time and time again, we do this over and over. We must forgive. We must let go of resentments, anger. And then it says in here, let's go back to our scripture. And it says, lead us not into temptation. So this is another thing that we do. But rescue us from all evil. Go back again to, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So right here, we're praying that God's protection would be yours. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. Or let's read the three verses of scripture and get the whole context of what he's talking about here. Yeah. He says, finally, my brother, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it has with you. So he's asking prayer. This is a different asking of prayer. He's not asking that he would have brand new pants or that he would have gas in his car. That's not what he's praying about. He's praying that all of us pray. This is something we need to pray, that the word of God will go forth. But I'm not going to go to Pastor Ken and say, Ken, could you please pray for me? I'm praying I need gas money. You just say, no, I'll just give it to you. Huh? In fact, here's my car. Take it, bring it back whenever you're finished. I had one guy gave me his car one time. Said, here, take it. Yeah, go for a holiday. Gave me his car. I went for a holiday. Brought it back, a few scratches. Dog bites in a... No, I'm just kidding. I brought it back. He was good about it. Thank God for that. There's people like that in this room. that they would give you, if they had to, their arm and leg. But you don't have to. You can pray for them. Thank God, amen. Some people are just givers. They just give certain things away. I'll give shoes away. I like shoes. So I'm asking for more shoes. Yeah. We got to start giving things away. Okay, so watch this. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That's a good thing to pray for. For all men have not faith. Not everybody has faith. Like you and me, we have like precious faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe verse 2 and 3 says that we have precious faith that we all of us have. But not everybody has this kind of faith. Christians have it. He's talking about the believer and unbeliever. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all harm. Let's go to the New Living and let's see what it says to make it a little bit more clear for us. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from every evil. And that's what we're praying in our Lord's Prayer. And sometimes, you know, when I'm praying, I'll be reminded of something. So I'll put something on Facebook to pray for all my Facebook friends. I pray for every Facebook friend that God will send a messenger that they can listen to. They might not hear me, but they'll hear somebody who's got a message that they can translate to them in their way. I'm praying for every one of my Facebook friends. I have almost 5,000 Facebook friends and their cousins and families. And I'm praying for them. I'm asking, Lord, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for all my Facebook friends. I'm asking you to bless them, give them wisdom. I'm asking you to strengthen each one. I say with passion, Lord, strengthen them. Because I want to be strengthened. I wish somebody would pray for me too. In Ephesians 6:8 says, what you do for somebody else, God will make happen for you as you sow seed. So this is what we do. And then go back to the Lord's Prayer. I think, which verse we in there, Kelsey? Come on, Kelsey. Lord's Prayer. Where were we? Lord's Prayer in verse what? The Lord's Prayer. Were we in Luke? Luke chapter 11 and verse. Sorry about that. Kelsey. Sorry. Me and Kelsey have this thing going. We have this relationship. We love each other and hate each other at the same time. It's like me and Sully. Okay. This is the go to one before that. So this is where we go. In the other version, in Matthew chapter 6, go to Matthew chapter 6, and starting from verse 9, we'll go really fast on this one. Matthew chapter 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've done that. We're praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. We're praying the will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking for our needs. 12, forgive us our debts. We're asking for forgiveness for ourselves and for other people. And then we're praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're praying for protection. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. And we end our session with praise and worship. But each one of those things, we break them down a little bit more, and we'll show you in coming weeks how to do that. So now you have a spectrum when you go to your prayer closet, what to do when you go to your prayer time. It is a model that you can take to your prayer time instead of saying, oh, what should I pray for today? Lord, lead me. No, God shows us what to do. Now, listen, this is just a model. Now, the Holy Ghost can come in there and mess up your whole thing and just make you to pray one area. Right? And he could make you pray over, intercede for forgiveness and the land and the leadership, and he make you pray for 1 hour that way. But at least you went in there with an agenda. Right? And so now you know what to do when you go into your prayer. Romans 8:26 talks about that there are certain things we don't know how to pray for people. We know that we should pray for people, but we don't always exactly know what to pray for somebody. but the Holy Spirit does. And so that's why we pray mentally and spiritually. We pray with our own language, and we pray with the language of heaven, which is tongues. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8, 26, 27, that we can pray in this language so that the will of God can be accomplished in someone's life without us even mentioning it as we pray in tongues. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 15, that we can both pray in our natural language, in our spiritual language, over things. So we say, we come to a place in our life, we say, Father, I don't know how to pray about this thing, but I just feel that I need to pray about it. So I'm going to pray by faith in tongues over that area, that you're going to reach that area, that person, or whatever situation that is right now, in the name of Jesus. So sometimes I'll say, Father, I don't know what everybody needs at Faith City Church, but I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Whatever I left undone, I'm praying for this day, that I'm going to pray in tongues right now. I pray in the Spirit, believing that God is doing something for people right now. Because we don't always know, but he knows. So, now I'm going to my introduction to my message today. Okay, so we've done all this. Now, so don't get tired on me. I see some of you falling asleep. No, okay, don't do that. Okay, so anyway, let's talk about this for a second as we close pretty soon here. The burdens and cares of life can become so unbearable for people. That's why you have a prayer time, and that's why you should have a prayer time, to release your burdens to God. We can be so stressed out, and many of us have felt that way to the point in life where it becomes so unbearable, because you have different areas in your life that are so concerning for you. This may come on your life by ongoing family situation. It could be months, it could be years that it bothers you. And it hasn't solved overnight. And so you're continually standing and praying every day that whatever needs to be done that day will be done. And so it could be financial areas. There's never enough money for everybody. But there's enough for your life. Sometimes you can share what you have. You know? Suppose I said, I'm going to give everybody $1 million today. He said, this is the best church to come to. Amen. Every service on Sunday, I'm giving everybody $1 million. Walk through those doors. You stay for 1 hour, I'm going to give you $1,000. This place will be just packed. Huh? And then we'll give you a free gas at the res. I'm going to take you all, fill up your tanks. Yeah? So, yeah, everybody's going to go there. Okay, so you can have so much strain there, overextended at work. You just have so much hard times at work. Employment trials, sometimes burdens are so overwhelming that they affect you physically, mentally, and also in so many other areas. Well, this scripture deals with you and us and the church. And it's for every situation in your life right now. This Bible verse is for everybody, everyone who is presently experiencing a variety of troubles. It's also for those who will have trouble tomorrow or the next day. It deals with three things, this Bible verse. Talks about three things that we can be reminded that it will tell us about. First of all, this scripture tells us, let's read it one more time. Give all your worries or cares to God, for he cares for you, living says. The King James says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. This is dealing with, first of all, about that God knows you personally. He knows you from beginning to end. He knows the time you were born. He knew you even before you were conceived. God knew you before you were ever conceived. He knew you were going to be here. He knew you were going to be right in this room right now from before you were even conceived. God knew you. The Bible talks about in the Psalms that I think it's 137 somewhere in there, I can't remember, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You knew me before I was woven together in my mother's womb. The prophet said, you called me from my mother's womb. Paul says two times that I can see there in the New Testament, he says, before you created the world, you knew me. God knows you. And everything about you, he knows everything about you. And that's what the scripture deals with, that God knows you and whatever concerns your life. Secondly, God cares about every one of your needs. He cares for every detail of your life. God knows every detail of your life from beginning to end. It's hard for our human understanding, hard for intellectual knowledge of educational, academic mindset that we are living in to understand that God knows. He is God Almighty. He knows everything. He's God that he. How could this God be everywhere at the same time? How could he be so big and large and live in my heart? Somebody said. So, he knows every one of your needs. And that God, thirdly, will take care of every one of your worries, every one of your burdens, every one of your fears, every one of your stresses. He'll take care of it. He said, bring it to me today. I believe on Wednesday we're going to talk about learning to put every care on God. How do we do that? How do we take every care to God? On this Wednesday, we're having a special service. Everybody say, special service. We're going to be having, 40 to 60 First Nations elders from my community to come here. They asked me to do a special service. Everybody say, special service. How many will pray with me that God will do some tremendous work in this service? Hallelujah. God's doing something, and God's opening up doors for us beyond measure. I took a tour of our Bible school students and Nathan with me, and we went to Gunungami last Wednesday. I believe it was the Wednesday before Thursday. And Tuesday, we had a great service there. We were able to pray for people and give out gifts because partners are giving. We have one man, a businessman from Edmonton, thank God. He sends us books, truckloads of books. People go, he does. He sends us books. It says, we want to give this out. Can you give that out? I said, sure, bring it over. And then the truck pulls in, and here's a big crate of books. And so we're giving that out. We're giving to people. We're blessing people. We're taking the stocks of things, and we're just giving it out to people. So we went over there and started giving books out. Because God has opened up doors. Thank God for that. So pray, if you want to pray for the church, pray that we have more open doors. And also we have the manpower and people in this room will start motivating themselves to get to work. And there's three areas where we should give. We should give our finances to God. There's some of your finances that should come to the church. I believe your tithe should come here. Your giving should go elsewhere, or some giving should come back here. I mean, if you don't believe that, then, it's up to you. I'm not going to force you, but that's what we believe here. So don't feel convicted because we believe it. You're coming to our place. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you feel ashamed, but this is what we believe. I believe that before I came to the church. I believe that before I was in any church. My wife believed it before that because we saw it in the Bible, and I've done it. God has made every need met for me, and I'm a millionaire. By faith. So just give it. Amen. Sometimes I can't even enjoy money that comes into me. It goes away right away. Praise God. Now, you should give of your finances. You should give of your talent here. We need ushers. We need musicians. There's a guy missing today. We need to put somebody right there right now. We got a different bunch of people. You want to move to Thunder Bay? We'll give you a job right away. Okay, so we need singers, we need ushers, we need counselors, we need technical people, we need TV people, we need everybody, prayer people. I've successfully developed 4 or 5 prayer groups right now, and we're going to at least have 2 or 3 more. And they take care of different areas. Praise God. We need more prayer people. We need Bible school teachers, instructors, people who can teach, who can come and take our course and start teaching. We're going to be doing that. We're going to do that. Some of our graduates who have graduated before, they're going to come back and teach. We've got other people that we're planning on growing, developing. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord God. This is a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord, for your goodness. And so we give our prayer to you. Glory to God. Come on, musicians, singers, songwriters, poets, prophesiers. Praise God. You prophesy every once in a while, don't you? Praise God. Amen. Give us one of those ones that prophesy like, you know, like a rapper. Huh? That'd be cool, eh? All of a sudden, maybe Miss Grace will do it. Yeah? Praise God. You know, you should go on drums next Wednesday. Tell Pastor Steve, you know. Praise God. Well, we do have needs, but we're going to fill them. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so grateful that we can come together and gather in freedom in this church. We ask this morning that the people of God begin to act on what they already know. And what they've been reminded of to do, they already know a lot of this stuff, and they're going to start being renewed in the area. Thank you so much for all the people that are here today worshiping you, and they're believing, we're believing to God for every need to be met, all family members. We're praying for every person in this room right now, in the name of Jesus, that spiritually every need is met, and that naturally speaking, that every need be met. We pray that everyone here has healing released in their body by the divine power of God that's living inside of them, that you quicken every physical body in this room right now, that you would strengthen each one by the Holy Spirit, that their minds will snap into clarity, and that they'll know wisdom in their heart to do what they need to do. We pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who does not have the baptism, the Holy Spirit, will speak with tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that everyone would be led by the Spirit of God. I want to thank you, Lord God, that the Word of God that comes out from this will go further than we've ever known before, that we will touch more lives than we ever imagined before. We pray for every single family in this room, every mom and dad, every child, every infant boy and girl, every preschool person, every high school, every college, university student, every elder, every boy and girl, in the name of Jesus, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We command Satan to get your hands off our family members. In the name of Jesus, we command the blessing of God to come upon them right now. We thank you for release. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit will not only operate in the church services, but in the lives of people that have wisdom to do what they need to do. We pray that the spirit of prayer would fall on people as they begin to pray suddenly by the power of God, and that they'd know something suddenly what to do by the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord God. I pray that people in this room right now that need to renew their commitment to Jesus would say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've been away from you. I've been walking on my own, thinking that I can do this on my own, but I know I can't. I need people. I need other people." So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray along with those individuals in this room right now, in this house, and are watching online, that would say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. I recommit my life to you, to serve you, to do something significant, to help the kingdom of God be known throughout my neighborhood and my family and throughout wherever I am, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is healing." And those that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life, they would say, "Lord God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son according to John 3:16, that you send your son, your own beloved son, your very own son, into this world to die for us, to sacrifice his life so that we might have eternal life. So that when we die, we will never see hell, but we'll be in your eternal arms forever. So I accept that by faith. You said in your word, if I believe in my heart and confess my mouth, Jesus is Lord and Savior, I welcome him right now that I would be saved. In Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I say I'm healed. I say with everybody else that I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, that healing anointing is flowing throughout my entire being. I'm agreeing with every person here that would need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm full of the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. I'm believing everyone here that the deliverance from evil presence, evil messengers would not get to me, and that I'm free from fear, the spirit of fear and anxiety, and I'm free from being afraid of running out of money or running out of resources or running out of strength or running out of health. Lord God, I'm free in the name of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe with everybody else in this room that everything's going to turn out just the way God planned it. I'm standing on the Word of God for every family, every home, for their finances, for their spirituality, for their growth. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise and we worship you. We thank you, Lord.